Across the nation, more and more people who are suffering from a severe mental illness are likely to wind up in prison than in a treatment facility. Here in Michigan, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI, estimates that more than four times the number of people with mental illnesses are in prisons than in hospitals. Our next guest has been an outspoken advocate against this trend and incarcerating mentally ill people. Pete Early is a journalist, advocate, and author of 13 books, including Crazy, A Father's Search Through America's Mental Health Madness, which was a finalist for the 2007 Pulitzer Prize. He'll be speaking in East Lansing this Wednesday at the invitation of the NAMI Lansing chapter. We've invited him to join us by phone today. Welcome to the program, Pete.
Thank you so much for having me on.
In your book, which goes back to 2006, you described how our jails and prisons have essentially become asylums for many people suffering with severe mental illnesses. How much has changed? Has it gotten better?
No, actually, it's gotten worse, and it continues to get worse. My son had a breakdown while he was in college. Okay, if he had lived in Michigan, the chances of someone who has a breakdown like he did ending up in jail rather than getting treatment, according to a recent study, in Michigan are 4-1 in favor you'll end up in jail rather than getting any kind of help. 4-1. Now imagine if that was true about heart attacks, saying if you have a heart attack, 4-1 chances you'll be. And if you look at, I'm not an expert on Michigan, but I did pull some numbers, and you're absolutely right. Your jails and prisons are the largest mental facilities in your state. You have about 8,500 people with serious mental illnesses in your jails and prisons. You have 781 in your hospitals.
I imagine some states are better than others nationally across the country. Do you see anything encouraging in terms of particular states?
Well, one of the things that Michigan's doing that's really great, and your legislator just did some of this, is they're looking at mental health courts. You know, this is not only the right thing to do. We're not talking about Hannibal Lecter serial killers. We're talking about people who have schizophrenia, people who used to be in state hospitals, which we've closed down. And it's not only right to help them and get them out of jails because they don't get help there. It makes sense economically. You know, in Michigan, it costs about $34,000 a year to keep someone in your jails and prisons. For half that, you could have them in the community with what's called an assertive community treatment program, which has a group of experts who actually come out and talk to them, make sure they're doing okay, and housing first. So you could be saving millions of dollars by doing the right thing. And one of the things your legislature's done is set up more mental health courts. So people like my son, my son broke into a house to take a bubble bath. Okay, luckily no one was there. He was charged with two felonies. He didn't need to go through the normal court system and not get any treatment and languish in jail. He needed to be put into a treatment system as opposed to just sitting in jail. And that's what mental health courts do. And your state's doing some good work that way.
You've argued for going back to expanding the state mental hospital system. Why so?
Well, I don't really argue. Nobody wants to go back to what we had. That's ridiculous. We want people to live in the community. But how and where are these people living in our communities? Most of them are living in real substandard boarding homes, nursing homes, or they're homeless or they're in jail. So we haven't improved their lives by closing down the hospitals like you did. I mean, you closed down 12 of your 16 state hospitals between 87 and 2003, and then you cut $50 million for your mental health services. So you don't have the money to help people in the community. But there are people who are severely ill who need a place to go to get stabilized. I'm not talking about permanent institutions. I'm talking about being able to go longer than, in Virginia, the average stay in a state hospital is 5 days. That's not long enough. You need time to get well. And so I'm talking about having hospital beds available. You know, they did a national study, and they said that in most communities you need, for every 100,000 people, you should have 50 beds. Michigan was 6 from the bottom. It had 10 beds. So there is no place for people to go. So somebody like my son, he needs help, he needs emergency crisis care, and it can take hours and sometimes days to find some place to have them go to be stabilized. And then as soon as they're in there, the insurance companies and everybody want them out. So it's just a really messed up system.
But you maintain that there are financial paybacks to expanding investment in mental health. I'm trying to envision an encounter between you and a critic of runaway government spending. You would maintain that over the longer haul, we actually save money by investing more in mental health, correct?
Oh, absolutely, and I'll take that argument anytime, because what's happening is you're spending $34,000 a year on somebody who needs treatment, who's going to be released back in the community. You know, when I did my book in Miami, we had cases where people were picked up and put in that jail 10, 11 times a year because they were charged with misdemeanors. They're held for 2 or 3 weeks, then they're turned loose. Those people, there's the famous story, Million Dollar Murray, where a person in New York cost the city $1 million per year, and he wasn't getting any treatment. The ones in Miami who were homeless on the streets, who were psychotic, who were going in and out of jail, were costing $60,000 a year. So the point is, these people are costing you money, and they're not getting any better. So why not take that $34,000 a year you're spending on them in jail right now? Take that money, cut it in half, and give them an ACT team, which is intensive treatment, and housing first, give them a place to live. You'll save half that money, and you'll actually help people. I mean, I pulled some numbers off of newspaper articles, and, you know, the mental health courts in Michigan said that they were the cost to helping someone get treatment down there was $4,000 a year compared to $34,000, and mental health courts have an 80% success rate. So, I mean, it's illogical to argue that by helping people with these services that you're going to, you know, cost more money. You're going to save money in the long run.
Pete Early is our guest. He's a journalist and author of 13 books and a mental health advocate, an advocate for greater investment in helping the mentally ill. Turning to the Affordable Care Act here, Pete, what's your assessment of mental health coverage with regard to the ACA?
It should make it more available to people who are not getting treatment and do not have any coverage. And the problem is we're talking about, when it comes to that, a larger area than just the homeless and the severely mentally ill. We're talking about people like my son who are the working poor who can't afford insurance coverage. So it should help those folks get better services.
I take it, though, the details involved here are still not nailed down. They're still pretty vague.
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, that's how Washington works, and that's why it's so you had to keep your eye on these things, because what the legislators do, what your members of Congress do, is they pass this grand plan, and then they turn it over to the federal workers to actually figure out how to implement it, and that's where you get it gets extremely complicated and gets detailed. And with health care, especially mental health care, that's where the tire meets the road, and it's really difficult sometimes to avoid some real problems. And I mean, look, when I did my book in Miami at the jail there, you would have people who would come in on medications, and these medications were very sensitive, but then the rules would say, okay, we're only going to pay for a different medication that's cheaper. And so they'd take them off their medication, and then they'd get in trouble. And these are the kind of, you know, details that still have to be worked out to make sure that people don't fall through the cracks.
What are your biggest concerns here? Does the government shutdown scenario, does the upcoming debt ceiling showdown, does that impact this discussion?
Oh, of course. I mean, the thing about people with mental illnesses and why your legislators cut $50 million is they have no one who represents them. They don't have any voting bloc. Nobody marches down the street saying, join us, we're a group of schizophrenics, you know, that we have schizophrenia and we want to be part of the bipolar club. And we have no PAC money. We don't give money to politicians. So the only way that we can get a seat at the table is by going in and saying, look, you're changing this system from a healthcare system into a criminal justice one. Our jails and prisons are swarming with people because they aren't getting services. You ask me what my biggest fear is? My biggest fear is that you have a lot of responsible sheriffs and law enforcement people there who say, look, you can't treat people this way. We got to give them help. And so they build a better mental health care system in your jails and prisons. And they build facilities in your jails and prisons to help people. And that sounds good, but it's wrong, because you shouldn't have to get arrested in order to get decent mental health care. We're talking about people who get sick. And why should you go to jail to get help if you get sick? And that's what we do in this country.
Pete Early has been our guest. He's a former Washington Post reporter, a mental health advocate, and author of the 2007 book, Crazy, A Father's Search Through America's Mental Health Madness. Pete will be speaking this Wednesday at the Hanna Community Center here in East Lansing at 7 p.m. Thanks for joining us, Pete Early. Good luck.
Thank you.